But right now, let's get back to Paul Ryan. We're talking about his philosophy in Ayn Rand. He's running away from it now, but here is what he had to say in 2005 about Ayn Rand.
I just want to speak to you a little bit about Ayn Rand and what she meant to me in my life. I grew up on Ayn Rand. That's what I tell people. I everybody does their soul searching and trying to find out who they are and what they believe, and you learn about yourself. I grew up reading Ayn Rand, and it taught me quite a bit about who I am and what my value systems are and what my beliefs are.
So I just want to stop and just say his belief systems, he found that out by reading Ayn Rand, who, let's remember, was an ardent atheist, a Russian atheist. Okay, yes. So that's who is setting his moral foundation. That's where he's getting it from, a Russian atheist. Okay.
It inspired me so much that it's required reading in my office for all my interns and my staff. We start with Atlas Shrugged. But the reason I got involved in public service, by and large, if I had to credit one thinker, one person, it would be Ayn Rand. And the fight we are in here, make no mistake about it, is a fight of individualism versus collectivism.
Wow.
And yes.
Walk that one back, Paul.
Yeah, see, if he hadn't discovered Ayn Rand, Paul might have grown up thinking that it's a bad thing to be a greedy prick.
Right.
That was a close one.
It really was. Phew.
And it is required reading for everybody on his staff, so nobody gets the idea that he gives two shits about other people.
Right. And in the context of that, is his budget makes perfect sense. It's forget the people who can't take care of themselves.
She actually has a quote where she said, no one has ever given me a good reason why you're supposed to be your brother's keeper.
Yeah.
That's a direct quote from her.
Yeah,
that's directly against Jesus.
That makes me want to go have a drink with her. And you know, I've never read an Ayn Rand book.
Mm-hmm.
But I know of The Fountainhead.
I've seen the movie.
I saw the movie The Fountainhead, and I read the book review of Atlas Shrugged. I don't read books.
These are two books that he has based his entire value system on. Two books. He's an avid reader, and he read two books.
For a Republican, that is avid.
Yeah.
For a Republican, that's called a library.
Jeez.
That's being Poindexter.
Isn't the fact that he's on a campaign ticket now, isn't that collectivism? Like,
I think that he should be a king.
Yes.
You know, not in a...
Or
in
dictator, probably. Would
or
be
dictator,
more,
right.
More
not certainly not a part of a democracy.
We're screwed.
He's
right.
Trying to walk back from all this, and he's talking about Ayn Rand here like a deadhead talking about Jerry Garcia.
Yes.
Right.
You know? Yes.
He's not just making casual comments about her here. He's obviously a fanatical.
Fanatical.
Everybody
in his office has to read her.
I think he probably has his wife put on one of those Ayn Rand wigs at night.
And speak in the German accent.
Come on, honey. Come on. Put on that straight wig with the bangs.
Come on.
She gave him Fountainhead.
Yes.
Come on, baby. Put on that little nighty and then take Social Security behind my back. Did she take Social Security and Medicare at the end of her life?
Absolutely, she did.
She did it as a goof.
Let me just say,
her and Ron Paul.
It's good to hear Paul Ryan talk about where his morality comes from, how Ayn Rand could fix everything now. It's reassuring to know that the guy running to be vice president has the political maturity of a wealthy college jock during rush week.
The guy's deep. He's deep.
The guy worships Ayn Rand, but he signed TARP, even though it literally went against everything he believes. Everything he believes, TARP went against it, and it goes against how he thinks that a society should function best without any sort of interventionism in capitalism. So what actually happened was he believed he was creating a bigger problem when he voted for TARP, according to his own philosophy.
Right.
But he did. He voted for it anyway because he knew it would help him with other Republicans in Congress. So that makes him a dick.
Yes.
So now he's the vice presidential candidate. So now all these right-wing crazy Christians, they have to have him in lockstep. You can't worship. That's against Christianity. You can't do that. We're not about that. Even though we live that, we live the values of Ayn Rand, not the values of the Bible and Jesus Christ.
Right.
The right-wing
Christians.
Well,
some Christians of them wanted to change the name of the Bible to Jesus Shrugged.
So here's what he had to say. They sat him down after he got the vice presidential nod, and here's what he had to say.
I later in life learned about what her philosophy was. It's called objectivism. It's something I completely disagree with. It's an atheistic philosophy.
Later.
Oh, wow.
Completely disagree with. It was just a youthful indiscretion, you know, like when he was 40.
later in life, Tuesday, I realized after worshiping her for 30 years.
So when was that last thing
that
said?
That was just now when he got picked to be vice president.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You want to hear it again? I'd love to hear it again.
Later in life, learned about what her philosophy was. It's called objectivism. It's something I can completely disagree with.
I learned what her philosophy. What the hell did were you learning about before?
Really?
Her knitting croquet work?
Hey, if you want to work in my office and help me pass legislation, please read this book that I completely disagree with.
This is what not to believe. I told them, don't believe this, but everyone has to read it.
What else were you talking about the whole time?
Yeah. He liked her font.
It's just like... nice work, Steph. That's Steph Zamorano from comedy and everything else. That's right, the Fontanhead. Okay, so here's a little bit more from Paul Ryan on the stump.
God.
He's on the campaign trail. Here he is giving the stump.
We need somebody who has a bedrock of principles, a moral compass, a vision for the country, and the experience, the expertise to put that vision into place.
And since we don't have anybody like that, we're going to settle for these two rich heads.
Plan B.
Yeah.
Also, you know, Paul Ryan has been portrayed by some people in the media as the more down-to-earth blue-collar person on the ticket. And it's true that Romney has $250 million. Paul Ryan has a net worth of about $4 or $5 million. So he's really hurting.
Oh, God, yeah.
How does he,
saw him at the 99 cent store the other day.
He bought
Buying
the store.
It, yes.
Paul Ryan's family made its family fortune in construction, building highways for the government.
Exactly,
the kind of big government public works program that Paul Ryan now opposes. Paul Ryan, when he says somebody with a moral compass, he means no gay marriage. And if you get raped by your brother, you name the kid after him.
That was from the August 17th Jimmy Dore Show, which is produced at the Los Angeles Pacifica radio station, a great spot on the torrid on-again, off-again love affair between Paul Ryan and Ayn Rand. Check out the Jimmy Dore Show and his other comedy projects at jimmydorecomedy.com. That's jimmydorecomedy.com. He spells his last name D-O-R-E. Especially check out last week's August 17th show. They outdid themselves on that one. It's hilarious. My name is Scooter, and now on to today's edition of the Final Edition Radio Hour, right here on The Inner Side, from Pacifica Radio in Houston.
I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
The Final Edition has received a secret recording of a conference call in which top Republicans discussed how to address a major scandal. Participants were Reince Priebus, Republican Party Chairman, Speaker of the House John Boehner, Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, and country singer Hank Williams Jr.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Brown.
Aiken is outrageous and wrong. We have to get rid of him.
I think you're jumping to conclusions. The American people like Aiken.
Yeah, he was great on American Idol.
Todd Aiken, not Clay Aiken.
Right. I thought he was great in Spamalot.
I like this Christmas album.
I hate Obama.
Guys, Todd Aiken has made legitimate rape the new Republican liability.
Are you saying rape isn't legitimate?
You want me to introduce legislation?
I think it's legitimate in Arizona. If not, I can issue an edict or something.
All rape is committed by Obama.
Listen, Aiken said that when legitimate rape occurs, the female body has ways of shutting it down.
Is that true?
Well, it's either true or it's not true, right, Jan?
Beats me. I have a female body, but it's not a human female body.
My body was shut down by Obama.
The American people accepted us when we were angry and outrageous, but now they think we're crossing the line into criminality. Do you want to be seen as supervillains?
I'm Boy Chairman.
I'm Lizard Woman.
I'm Crybaby.
I'm over-the-hill country boy Obama Hater Jr.
Scott, why don't you condemn Aiken, and the rest of us will remain vaguely creepy and out of our minds.
Fine. Sounds good.
Speaking of sounds, my daddy used to sing, I hate Obama. Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Young Republicans start selling person hoodies, sweatsuits for the unborn.
Abortion doctor admits he just really enjoys killing babies.
This is Tony Hendra. You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth.
In his first public appearance as Mitt Romney's vice presidential choice, Paul Ryan said, "Our rights come from nature and God, not government." The Final Edition's Bridget Null sat down with the two cosmological phenomena for an exclusive, in-depth interview.
Nature, it's good to have you with us.
I'm always with you, dear.
Right. I believe your contention is that Paul Ryan is wrong in ascribing American rights to you.
Your rights come from government and always have. There's no Second Amendment among otters.
Or protection against search and seizure among wildebeests.
God, it's good of you to join us.
Join you? I friggin' created you, me, dammit.
You also claim to have created Paul Ryan, but you say he too lacks a basic understanding of rights and religion.
The Bill of Rights was introduced in Congress by James Madison and ratified by 3/4 of the states in 1791. Not by me handing stone tablets to an old man on a mountain, or by using a talking snake to trick two nudists.
Paul Ryan is trying to justify scrapping Medicare and the rest of the social safety net by invoking us as magical powers. He doesn't get us at all.
I'm God, not the friggin' Wizard of Oz.
We're the two biggest forces in the universe, and this guy reduces us to political cliché.
Will you take any action against Paul Ryan? Smite him? Send a plague of locusts?
Locusts for Paul Ryan? I could just send Rage Against the Machine. He wouldn't last 3 minutes with Tom Morello.
One more thing. Can you tell us who's going to win the election?
Obama. He's going to get even more votes than Al Gore did in 2000.
But Al Gore lost that election.
Interviewer, please.
It's time for Grandma's Song, dedicated to Congressman Paul Ryan. Mocking my pain with his figures, chilling my blood with his words, killing me slowly with his plan, killing me slowly with his plan, ending my whole life with his words, killing me slowly with his plan. I heard he had a good plan. I heard he had some style. So I came to see him to listen for a while. He could have been my grandson with those big blue eyes, but he was mocking my pain with his figures, chilling my blood with his words, killing me slowly with his plan, killing me slowly with his plan, ending my whole life with his words, killing me slowly with his plan. I felt all flushed with fever at what he told the crowd. 1,000 cuts to Medicare, he read each one out loud. And all the folks applauded as he took away their lives, mocking our pain with his figures, writing us off with his words, killing us slowly with his plan, killing us slowly with his plan, ending our lives with his words, killing us slowly. But you know, he
spoke as if he knew me. In all my dark despair. And then he looked right through me as if I wasn't there. Oh yes, you're less than zero when you're on Ryan Care, mocking my pain, ending my life, killing me, little old me, with his plan, ending my life with his words, killing me slowly with his plan. That Paulie's a one-man death panel.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Underage millionaire uses fake voter ID to buy congressman. Jerry Sandusky fired from prison kitchen after fondling baby carrots.
Welcome to the final edition election night coverage. We'll be with you all night with our entire news staff waiting to report on anything whatsoever.
We'll wait for returns, analyze the returns we don't have, and speculate wildly on election results that are just going to happen the way they're going to happen no matter what we do or say.
Let's head over to Dan Jatico at Romney headquarters. Dan, what's it look like over there?
Carol, Governor Romney is still campaigning, even at this late hour. Right now, he's going around demanding that President Obama apologize for something or other.
What a tireless candidate.
Since nothing is happening, let me ask you a hypothetical question. If Governor Romney lost, how do you think he'd react?
He would probably be disappointed.
Do you think he would cut himself?
It could be.
Another hypothetical. Do you think Superman could ever get cancer?
Oh, sorry to interrupt, but we've got to check in with Jane Cooper at President Obama's headquarters. Jane, is there any news?
No. Everyone is standing around looking at each other, waiting, waiting. And there it is! Vice President Joe Biden just made a racist joke about Norway.
Whoa, we haven't been at war with them in a while.
Not since the Vikings. Thanks, Jane. Now, let's go 250 miles above Earth's surface to our correspondent, Luther Robinson, in the International Space Station. Luther, what do you see from up there?
The Earth looks blue and far away.
Thanks, Luther. We also have correspondent Will Chandler at the Ron Paul headquarters. Will?
The Ron Paul headquarters is holding its own Ron Paul presidential election in which the only candidate is Ron Paul.
Are there any results so far?
Yes, as usual, Ron Paul is getting about 10% of the vote.
Sorry to cut you off, Will, but we just got word the Board of Elections in Kenosha, Wisconsin has counted one vote. And it's for Mitt Romney.
And Fox News is calling the election for Romney.
Let's head back to the International Space Station. Luther, what's your take?
From up here, your election seems pointless and insignificant.
Interesting. Now to Madame Sherry Lacroix, who's going to tell my fortune for $5. Madame Sherry, who will win Pennsylvania, and will I ever have children?
I see someone from the lands beyond. Do you know anyone who recently passed away whose name begins with L or W?
Grandma?
Gotta break in, guys. This is Jane back at Obama headquarters, and the president is now speaking.
Ooh, is it a concession speech or a victory speech?
Neither. He's just talking about stuff.
No, I don't think the crab dip is vegetarian. I think it contains crab.
This is Dan back at Republican headquarters. Governor Romney is demanding that Obama apologize to the seafood industry.
And I just received news that Washburn County, Ohio has counted 10 votes. 9 are for Barack Obama, and 1 is a write-in for Ron Paul.
Fox News is calling Washburn County for Romney.
Now let's check in with Luther in the space station. Luther, how are things in orbit?
We're all drunk. And now we're going to go outside and walk around.
Okay, tell us if you die.
We'll return with 18 more hours of coverage after this.
The military drumbeat against Iran continues. All the right and half the left are pushing for a third war on a Muslim nation, the first two having been so spectacularly successful. Of course, Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon. The most the International Atomic Energy Agency will confirm is that Iran is enriching uranium at a rate that might someday be used for non-peaceful purposes. But curiously, the International Atomic Energy Agency has never investigated reports that Israel has developed a nuclear weapon. In fact, several hundred of them. IAEA Director General Amano explains.
As we have been repeatedly told to say, Israel has no nuclear weapons program. It is therefore under no obligation to sign the International Nuclear Nonproliferation Agreement. Since they won't sign it, we can't investigate them for noncompliance. All we can say with certainty is that even though Israel has between 200 and 400 nuclear warheads, enough to turn North Africa into a rubble-strewn moonscape and make Europe uninhabitable for centuries, they don't exist.
But if they do exist, wouldn't that be a bigger issue than Iran's possible nuclear ambitions?
No, because while the IAEA has no conclusive evidence that Israel has between 200 and 400 nuclear weapons, it does have evidence that Iran is enriching uranium to levels that might be used at some point in the future for a nuclear weapon. We can state with certainty, therefore, that Iran currently has a non-existent nuclear weapon that may someday exist.
What's the difference between weapons which don't exist and non-existent weapons?
Non-existent weapons are far more dangerous because they're impossible to locate.
As the Americans found in Iraq?
Or as they didn't find.
The Obama administration may have come up with a solution to the challenging question of whether Israel's nukes do or do not exist. White House spokesman Jay Carney.
The president is considering introducing in the UN Security Council a new non-existent nuclear proliferation treaty, which would retroactively authorize Israel to develop as many nuclear weapons which don't exist as necessary, but for peaceful purposes only.
Well, what would be a typical peaceful purpose?
Preventing a Muslim nation from developing a non-existent nuclear weapon.
But why wouldn't a Muslim nation in the region have the same right to develop nuclear weapons which don't exist for the same peaceful purposes?
Because Muslim nations don't know the meaning of the phrase peaceful purposes.
But Israel does?
Absolutely.
The Cold War between the U.S. and the USSR guaranteed relative peace around the world for half a century through a deterrent stalemate called MAD, or Mutually Assured Destruction. Why doesn't Iran have the right to develop non-existent nukes to deter Israel's nukes that don't exist? Wouldn't that ensure peace in the Middle East? Maybe we call it Mutually Assured Non-Destruction.
No! Little lady, let me remind you of something. Questioning Israel's good intentions isn't just anti-Semitic. It's tantamount to treason. No, no, no. It is treason.
Really? Wouldn't you say it was a textbook example of the First Amendment in action?
Are you kidding? In an election year? Security!
Get your hands off me! Stop! Let me go!
The implied equivalency between Israel and its Muslim antagonist drew a chorus of condemnation from distinguished neoconservative scholars and intellectuals. William Crystal, editor of the Weekly Standard.
Comparing the rights of Israel to those of Iran is like comparing apples to orange-colored feces. Whether these nuclear weapons exist or don't exist, which they don't, they can certainly be entrusted to a nation whose millennia-long history includes legions of great philosophers, eminent physicists, and brilliant intellectuals like myself, who spent their entire lives pondering the paradoxes of existence and non-existence. How can anyone compare this awesome legacy to a nation of camel herders who gang rape helpless farm animals and are ruled by swarthy mullahs whose beards are so clogged with leftovers they snack off them between meals?
Yes, intellectual. Read a book.
Very
download that on iTunes.
You are brilliant.
In his own press conference, a visibly amused Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, developed the theme.
My friends, likening Israel to Iran is preposterous. Unlike Iran, we don't seek to destabilize our region with hundreds of illegal nuclear warheads. Our national agenda is not profoundly influenced by a privileged minority of religious lunatics whom assume antiquated black clothing and funny hats and treat women as barely human. We don't even spell the name of our nation with an I. It's actually a Y. Bottom line, we're good, they're evil. So enough criticism already. Or we'll make sure you never work again.
President Obama echoed these sentiments.
Let me say that while I welcome healthy debate, I will not take sides. Taking sides is only possible when there are two of them. When it comes to Israel, there's only one, and I've got its back.
The White House later announced that the obnoxious lady reporter has been relocated to eastern Kazakhstan for questioning about her questioning, and that the president would henceforth be known as Barack Obama.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
This day in history, Ronald Reagan announced he has Alzheimer's for the 13th consecutive day.
This day in history, Ronald Reagan announced he has Alzheimer's for the 13th consecutive day.
I'm Stone White, on location in Houston, Texas, where just this morning, a gunman opened fire from this building, directly behind me at...
He's still in there, dumbass!
Hi, this is Jeff Chrysler, executive producer of the Final Edition Radio Hour and mostly incompetent managing editor of the Final Edition website. You know, sometimes we do get letters from some of our readers and listeners, and we like to respond to them because we want to build a community. Tonight, I thought we'd share one of those letters on the air with you and our official response. One of our talented actors, Mr. Barry Lank, will read the letter, placing his emphasis exactly where the writer has placed his all-caps words. This is from Roe Sargent.
To submissions, I have a suggestion. Many of your politically themed articles seem to be anti-conservative. Also, many seem to be anti-God or anti-Christian. One thing I like better about the writers over at The Onion is their penchant for making fun of everybody! Conservatives and liberals! Christians and all other faith systems. Major, mainstream, cults, New Age, Wiccan, etc. Americans and people from other countries, men and women, straight and gay, capitalists and fascists, socialists, communists, etc. Get my point? Anyway, this is just my suggestion for what it's worth, one that might help you develop a larger following.
This has been our first edition of Reader Letters. You can send your letters to submissions@thefinaledition.com.
The Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Antoot Shell, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Kevin Janis, Rachel Lyon, Jeff Chrysler,
Scooter from KPFT in Houston,
and Tony Hendra. He was in there. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Fred Wickham, Rachel Lyon, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com now and every day for more sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2012.
That was the Final Edition Radio Hour from today, hot off the mixing board, right here on The Inner Side. This and all previous Inner Side radio programs are archived in amazing stereo MP3. Simply type The Inner Side into your embedded Google spyware. It's the first hit. This radio program will be preempted by convention coverage for the next 2 weeks, but we may be sneaking some satire and comedy bits into that. We'll see. And Pacifica convention coverage is great. Definitely tune it in. They don't let the mouth-talking politicians get away with anything. It's pretty caustic and entertaining. I love it. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all in a few weeks.
Down with disease. 3 weeks in my bed, trying to stop these demons that keep...